I spent 32 years in the military, most of it as an officer in the United States Army Reserves. That's how I could pick up at a certain point in my career during the 1990s and move over to the former Soviet Union with Hero Israel Ministries, where I spent 4 years reaching out to the lost sheep of Israel who lived in the city of Minsk in the nation of Belarus. It was a wonderful time and a great experience for me to learn what it meant to live overseas, reaching out to a people group very different from my own. You've got to understand, when I was a field artillery officer, I'd been learning the biggest and best ways to blow these people apart. And then all of a sudden, there I am 10 years later, ministering the good news of Yeshua to them. Kind of ironic, don't you think? It was a wonderful time, though. This is what God has called us to, though. He's called us to reach out to the lost. And if we're not reaching out to the lost, then we're not doing the will of our Lord and of our Savior. That's what He's called us to. The Great Commission. Go into all the world, He says. Well, I might point out all the world would include something more than just Israel as well, right? And we need to have our hearts set wherever God would send us to reach out to the lost, whoever they may be, whoever He may send to our path. Rav Shaul said quite a bit about that. Romans chapter 11. I want to start with the mystery. Who doesn't like a good mystery, right? He says in verse 25, well, let's start with 24. And he's speaking to the Gentiles here that were in the congregation at Rome. You understand that that Roman congregation was a mixture of Gentiles and Jewish people together. And he's speaking to the Gentiles at this point, and I know many of you here are Gentiles, as am I. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, who are the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. I got saved in the military back in May of 1981 while I was at Fort Sill learning how to be a good field artillery officer. Some 9 months after that, I found myself in the field 2 days after the birth of my son Russell in Grafenwehr, Germany. And at a certain point while we were there in Grafenwehr, and nothing else was happening because for some odd reason both radar units were down, a heavy fog had set into that bowl that Grafenwehr was. And without radar and without line of sight, we could not fire our artillery because it was simply too dangerous. We had to be able to see where the shots fell. And so at this time, do you think, does anybody here believe in coincidence? I hope not. I don't. I think God orchestrated that specifically so that He could teach me something important. And at this point, on this day, I'm sitting in the back of my track and I'm praying and reading the scriptures. And I've just read through the entirety of the book of Romans and God says, no, you're not done yet. And so I start leafing back through the book and I get to chapter 9 and He says, read again. And so I read 9, 10, and 11 again. And on the last word of 11, it was the strangest thing. You've got to understand. I didn't understand the baptism in the Holy Spirit at that time. I'd been raised in churches that were cessationist in nature. They didn't understand about the workings of the Holy Spirit of God in modern day. And God gave me a vision. And in this vision, the first part of it, he showed me the earth as if I was looking at it from the NASA spacecraft. I mean, it was a big blue marble sort of thing. I'm looking at it from way up in outer space. And I'm watching it, and as I'm watching, we're getting closer and closer and closer to the earth. I notice that we're focusing in on the Mediterranean. And I continue to watch, and I notice that we're focusing in on the eastern end of the Mediterranean. And I knew this meant Israel or Lebanon, kind of that area. And then at a certain point above the earth's surface, we ceased our motion and stopped. And at that point, I saw what was, as it were, a big map sheet rolled out before me. A blank map sheet, a military map sheet. And then all at once I saw a few hastily drawn in dots and some red arrows came in, which to me said the bad guys are coming. And then at that point the vision ceased. And then there was a second part to the vision that began almost immediately afterwards. And this part of the vision was one of terrible warfare. And I was looking at the people, and I was wondering, who are these people? I was looking at the buildings. They were rather different. It was a society where the buildings were made of stone. The people were slightly darker than myself. They had curly hair, dark hair. They looked different, and yet somehow familiar. They were going through a terrible time, though. In no way was I part of this vision. It was two-dimensional. I was outside of it, simply watching, almost like a movie theater. The horrors of war were everywhere. You could hear the staccato of the machine gun fire. You could hear the deep roar and booms of artillery and of bombs being dropped. You saw destruction and death on every side. People literally dismembered before my eyes, blood flowing down the streets, deep enough that it was ankle deep. You could sense and feel the horror of a people who were absolutely desperate and hopeless. A people who had come to the point simply waiting to die because the end had come for them, or so they thought. And then that part of the vision ended, and a third part of the vision began. And it looked very much like the second part of the vision, but there were some serious differences also. One of those differences was it was now three-dimensional. I was no longer outside of it, I was part of it. It was happening all around me. The war, the bloodshed, the danger, the dismemberment. There was another difference also. There were other people in that land, people, representatives, I suppose, from every nation on the face of the globe. There were people from America. There were Europeans, people from South and Central America, people from Asia, and people from Africa. By this point, I'd pretty much figured out we're looking at the land of Israel, and this is the time of Jacob's trouble that I had read about at some point. And I was very curious about all these people being together in the land of Israel. What were they doing there? I looked at the world as Jews and Gentiles, and the two simply didn't meet. And yet here you had many Gentiles in Israel doing their best to bless the Jewish people at the hardest time, the most horrible time in their history. And so you had all the horrible stuff happening, and yet now it was interesting. The people now had hope. They were no longer hopeless. They weren't waiting to die. They were waiting to find life anew. And then the third part of the vision ended, and almost immediately a fourth part of the vision came to me. And in this part of the vision, I saw myself, as it were, on a cliff face, high above a dry valley. And I was at such a point that I could look down the valley long, long in the distance this way, and long, long in the distance this way. And we're talking about literally millions of people being there, all together. No longer did I hear the sounds of war. In the distance, you could see some wisp of smoke still curling up from the battles that had been fought. And then it's almost as if somebody snapped their finger. We all fell to our knees together and began to sing Baruch Haba Basham Adonai. And then the vision ended. And I said, Lord, what does that mean? And he said, it means you owe the Jewish people a lot. I started chuckling and I said, like what? And he said, like for that Bible you read. It was written by the Jewish people. And it was because of their care and concern for the word of God, my word, that you, a Gentile, can know it today. For the earthly father and mother of the Messiah. They were Jewish people who raised Yeshua in the way that I called them to do, so that you could know him in the way I would have you to know him. For all of his original disciples, they were all Jewish people. And it was because of their obedience to me to go to your mothers and your fathers that you can know me today. And now I want to take you and others like you that I've called from among the nations and send you back to the Jewish people to return to them the blessings they gave you to start with. Now this was way back in 1982, over 30 years ago, and it's been a journey ever since then. I want to read another portion of the book of Romans before I get into the central part of my message. In verse 7, Paul says, what then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. And then skipping down to verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? There's that word again, fullness, pleroma. I want you to keep that in mind. Fullness, pleroma. It's critical to your understanding today. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, and save some of them. And hear this now. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world. You got that? If they're being cast away is the reconciling of the world. Paul is saying their being cast away has been, on a certain level, the reconciling of the world. But only on a certain level. It's not complete. There's another part to the mystery. He then says, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? He's literally saying that their final acceptance is going to be like life from the dead. It'll certainly be like life from the dead for them. That goes without saying. That's too simplistic. It's not just that. It is, in fact, when all Israel is saved, that it is life from the dead for the entire world. That brings us back to where I started. We're supposed to be people that are minded to reach the world that God has put us in. So let's talk about the fullness of the Gentiles for just a moment, shall we? The word there is pleroma. It's a Greek word that is translated fullness. It can mean a repletion or a completion. A lot of prophecy teachers who come from a dispensational point of view have become convinced that it's talking about a number. And so the New International Version, I think, wrongly translates it when the full number of the Gentiles has come in. Then all Israel will be saved. I want to bring a different perspective to that word, because you notice that that word was also used earlier in chapter 11 and verse 12 when it says, "Now if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness?" I don't see how that could just be speaking of a number. It's got to be something more. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 1 very quickly, we find that word used again, pleroma. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory," starting at verse 14. "The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, 'This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me.' And of His fullness," pleroma, "we have all received, and grace for grace." Of His fullness, pleroma, "we have all received." That can't be a number, not in that context, certainly. Turn with me to Ephesians 1 now. In verse 22, Paul says, "And He put," God, "put all things under His feet," Yeshua, "and gave Him to be head over all things to the congregation, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." Anyone who's here as a Gentile today is here for a good reason, a right reason. God has called you here. The reason why is He has called us who are Gentiles to become the fullness of Him for the sake of Israel, that the eyes of all Israel can be opened to the Jewish Messiah because of what He's done in our lives and because we have become, as it were, His body here on this earth, just as He says in Ephesians 1 here. The fullness. We're called to be the fullness of our Messiah. Yeshua said, "When I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." Well, when He's lifted up, picture of Him having been crucified, of Him suffering for the pains of the world, for the agonies of the world. What more is going to open the eyes of Israel than when Gentiles who are not in their mind supposed to be good to Jewish people suddenly demonstrate to them the very love of Messiah by allowing themselves to, as it were, suffer in their pain and their agony? Why? because of a supernatural love for the people that goes way beyond the boundaries of nation or ethnicity, that goes way beyond all the horrors of the past that have occurred because of the treatment of the church towards the Jewish people. That's when all Israel will be saved. And until then, they can't be. But it doesn't end there. This mystery goes further. Because you see, until all Israel is saved, the rest of the world can't be saved. I don't care how many missionaries the Christian churches send out to lost peoples around the world. Those missionaries by themselves cannot accomplish the task that God has called the entire congregation of His people to do. His congregation being not only Gentile but Jewish as well. Apart from the Jewish people coming into their fullness as well, the world cannot be saved. And you see, that's how it comes together. Now, there's some very exciting things that are happening in our day. We're finding that the lost sheep of the house of Israel, people who have been lost for thousands of years, are once again being found, are once again being reawakened to the calling that God gave them. Another thing that Paul says in Romans chapter 11 is, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. It doesn't go away. It doesn't disappear. The Jewish people have fallen far from God, and they've wandered long in the wilderness. But their wanderings are soon to end. And even as we speak, they are ending. Jewish Voice Ministries has a lot of exciting works that are going on. And Jewish Voice is the organization that is sending my wife and I over to Zimbabwe in order to take care of their Southern Africa outreaches. But they've got works going in India, Ethiopia, Somalia, Nigeria, 6 countries in Southern Africa, Argentina, Mexico, and to some little degree in Israel as well, and the former Soviet Union. You add it all together, and they've got works in about 10 different countries around the world, reaching the lost tribes of Israel. And that's exactly what I mean, the lost tribes of Israel. One of the groups in India that they're reaching out to are known as the Beni Menashim, the sons of Manasseh. And they remember that they are sons of Manasseh. The group that we're being sent to right now is particularly exciting to me. The Lemba are fascinating people. The DNA shows that they are Levites. Some 75% of their men have the DNA of the Levites. Well over half of those with that DNA also bear the genetic alleles of the Kohanim, the actual priest of the service. They were those of Levi who during the time of Ezra refused to give up their foreign wives and therefore were banished from the house of Israel 2,500 years ago. And in our day, they're being reawakened to their ancient call. Now think about that. The priest. What was their calling? They were to be the callers of the call to the worship of the Most High. They were the ones who led that worship. They were the ones who called the people to that worship. Can can you imagine what's going to happen, considering what Paul says about the gifts and the calling being without repentance, when we get these people saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized in water, turn fully away from practices that are not of Yeshua to practices that are of Yeshua, becoming the very presence of Yeshua in the heart of that African nation and in the heart of Southern Africa, deeply imbued with an understanding of the Great Commission, then turn these people loose on the face of the earth. Indeed, as Paul says, it'll be as life from the dead. Life from the dead. I'd always wondered about the black people in that vision. Why were there so many black people in Israel? I'd never really considered that. And I didn't know who they were until back in May, after Jonathan took my wife and I to Zimbabwe. And I was looking at these people and I was feeling strangely like I knew them, like I'd seen them before somewhere. And all of a sudden, one evening, while I was sitting at dinner with a couple of our group there, I exclaimed, just quite without thinking, "I've seen these people before." And Roger West stopped and he turned to me and he was in deep thought and in sentence speaking to someone else, and I just kind of interrupted at him. And so he said, "Well, John, would you like to share where you've seen these people and who are these people you're speaking of anyways?" And I said, "Roger, the Lemba, I've seen them before." And I shared the vision that I gave you. At least in part, those were the black people I was seeing there also ministering the word of God to the Jewish people in the times of Jacob's trouble, bringing them to an understanding that their Messiah has come, that he's real, that he's with them, he's watching over them, he's ready to receive them that very day, bringing them hope that there is a future, that their future is not just a quick and painful death. Life from the dead. This is what's happening today. We see the troubles of our own nation. We've spoken about the troubles of our own nation today. The evils that we've fallen into, the abortion that has claimed 56 million babies, the open perversion that our government has embraced in our day. God being removed from our public schools, being banished from our public places. And the confusion that has set in because we are part of our people, right? The American people. Regardless of our background, we are American people. The confusion that a people falls into when they banish God from their society, as we have from our society, starting from our highest government officials on down. But that's not the end of the story. It's just a part of the story, because all over the world, the gospel is advancing now. And it's advancing now among the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Jewish people, even as prophecy said would happen. The day is drawing very near when all Israel will be saved, because the day is drawing very near when the pleroma, the fullness of the Gentiles, will be fully realized. And it'll happen because of people just like those that are here in this room today, doing the work that God has called us together in unity to do. My plans immediately are to leave on Monday to go back to Zimbabwe. I'll be there for 5 weeks. And then I'll come back home for the holidays and to get my wife Annette. And about mid-January, we'll move over to that land. It's a very poor country, a badly broken country, one that in many ways has been mismanaged. It's also got a very painful colonial history, where at one point some 225,000 whites really did rule the roost over about 11 or 12 million blacks. And it wasn't necessarily a kinder, gentler relationship. So there's a lot of sins that have occurred there, and a lot of slaughters that have occurred. The main people group is the Shona. A secondary group is the Dabeli. The Lemba are a very small tribal people in the midst of this group. You say, how small? Well, the Lemba are spread between six countries of southern Africa. Zimbabwe is the center, the Barangwa region to be precise. But you've also got South Africa and Botswana and Mozambique, Zambia and Malawi, where groups of Lemba live. They're estimated in number anywhere between 75,000 and 450,000. Considering how poorly most prognosticators have done in estimating the size of lost tribal populations through the ages, I would have to say it's safe to bet that it's probably on the upper end of that number. But there are scattered people right now. For the most part, without vision. For the most part, without an understanding of their calling in Yeshua. They understand from their oral traditions that they are from the Levites. A few of them have a vision, though. The chief of the area we'll be going to has a real vision for his people. And that's a wonderful thing. He sees them as a people that will do great things for the world and in the world. Well, from his lips to God's ears, right? And I believe it'll happen also. We're going to need your help, though. We need your prayers for one thing. Prayer is absolutely critical. But Jewish Voice Ministries is going to need your financial support also. And so we ask for that. If you'd like to be on our mailing list, one way you can do it is whenever you do correspond with Jewish Voice Ministries, let them know that you're interested in the ministry of the Palages to the Lemba people in Zimbabwe. Let me spell the country name out to you. Z as in Zulu, I-M-B-A-B-W-E, Zimbabwe. And remember us. If you're interested in being on our mailing list more immediately, please give your name to the elders of the congregation here at Ohev. And they'll make sure that you get on our mailing list. This is an exciting ministry. We're looking at the very real possibility of reaching out to the actual priest of the temple, cut off for 2,500 years from their people, and yet now uniquely ready to become what they were always meant to be, the callers of the call to the worship of the Most High, inspired by God to do so. As soon as the work's done. So that as Paul says in Romans 11, let's turn back to that real quick. The the closing out of the mystery. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. It's an exciting time. Let's remember that. Keep looking up. Expect great things. Expect great things from a great God who wants to bless you and help you to fulfill the very calling that he has given you, that in that fulfillment, you could really understand the fullness of his blessing. Amen.
Bruce, are you here? Yes.